That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. I'm beginning to read at verse 1 to verse 26. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's God's holy and infallible word. We'll sing again. Paper, but it's important. Kenny Rogers. Have you ever heard of Kenny Rogers? Yeah. He's an American. He's a country and western singer. Yeah. I still like country and western. When we were last up in Shetland, my cousin He gave us one of these little sticks that you pick in the car, and it's full. I don't know how many country and western songs is on it. And if you notice, if you listen to country and western, you'll notice that country and western songs always have a story. Some of them are not so very good stories, but it's always a story. And I remember Kenny Rogers singing "Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree." I don't know if you've heard that one. "I'm Coming Home." That was the song. He had been imprisoned, and his time was finished. He was coming home. He was coming home on the bus, and he had sent a letter to his wife to say that he was coming home. "And if you want me to be coming home to you, then tie a yellow ribbon round an old oak tree. And when the bus comes near it and I see the yellow ribbon, I'll get off the bus. And if the ribbon's not there, then I'll just keep going." He said his time was finished. Well, something similar to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was imprisoned, as it were. He left heaven. He come down to a sin-sick world. And he served his time here. And it was as though he was saying to his father, "I'm coming home. If you want me home, don't tie a yellow ribbon around an old oak tree." This is what he would have said, and this is what happened. We find it in Psalm 24. Instead of tying a yellow ribbon around an old oak tree, this is what he would have heard. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It wouldn't have been "tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree." This is what he would have heard. "I'm coming home, Father. It's finished." And did you know that anything concerning your Christian faith and life is based on one word? Just one word. And without that word, there is nothing. As Paul said, we would still be in our sin. And what is that word? Well, in the English it's three words, but according to the commentators in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, I don't speak Greek, I just listen to what they say. It's just one word: finished. Christ on the cross said it's finished. And everything concerning our Christian existence lies on that one word. Not the resurrection. If he had never said it was finished, there would have been no resurrection. So everything concerning our Christian existence, our hope, our joy, is all on just one word: finished. Kenny Rogers had finished his time, and he was going home. Christ had finished his time, and he was going home. "I go to prepare a place for you." We've just been singing there, "He's gone to prepare our mansions." So one word, and everything relies on that one word. Father, finished. It determines our sin. If it wasn't finished, then Paul says we're still in our sin and we're still unsaved. So the word "finished" determines what happens to our sin. It determines his and our resurrection. If he hadn't finished the work, well, it's hard to imagine, but if he hadn't finished the work, he probably would have died. Everyone on the cross died. He would have went into the tomb, but I don't think he would have resurrected because he hadn't finished what the Lord, his Father, had given him. And Paul says here, if he hasn't risen, then we won't rise. If he didn't rise, then we're still in our sin. So that one word is an important word, and we need to grasp it more and more. Yes, we think a lot about the resurrection, and there's a lot in the resurrection that thrills us because we're going to resurrect. But we'll never finish the work. He's the only one who could finish the work. And that's the main basis, that's the main foundation of the Christian faith, is that he said to his Father, "Finished." And that determines our sin. You know what it is? Jesus says to them, "You'll look for me, but you won't find me. And you can't come where I am, because you're still in your sin." Sin is a terrible thing, my dear friends. People don't like to think about sin. But sin is what brought Jesus Christ from being his Father's daily delight. It was because of not his sin, it was because of my sin. And because of your sin, if you've had your sin washed away with the blood of the Lamb. It's an important word. One word, can you think? Our eternity stands on just one word. The word "finished." My meat, he says to his disciples when they came at Sychar, my meat is to do the will of my Father. I have come to do his will. When he was in the garden, he said, not my will, but thy will, Father. Everything depends and hangs on just that one word, "finished." When you go to bed tonight and you have your head on the pillow, think for a few moments of that word "finished" and just exactly what it means. You're safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Why? Because he finished the work that was set before him. It is finished. It determines our eternal future. Where will we be if Christ had not finished the work? He hadn't taken my sin. I would have to stand on judgment day. There would be no one standing on his right hand side. They would be all standing on his left hand side. Because there would be no one who had been washed with that precious blood. It determines our eternal future. And we have an eternal future. Death is not the end. People all tell you, when you're dead, that's it. Once you go into that grave or into that burning fire or wherever, that's it. There's nothing more. But my friend, that's a delusion. And where does it come? It comes from the pit of hell. He wants you to believe that there's no judgment day. And the Bible says, he's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. Yes, it determines our sin. It determines our resurrection. If he hasn't risen, then we will not rise. It determines our eternal future. But most of all, it determines the fate of our enemy. He tried once. Himself, Satan himself, tried once to get our sin, our Saviour, not to be able to finish the work. See these stones, he says? You're the Son of God. Why should you be hungry? You don't need to wait on your Father feeding you. You've got the power to change these stones into bread. Do it. And if Christ had done it, then he would have not been able to finish the work, because he was not relying on his Father. He was working for himself. But he said, three times he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And my friend, that's where our weapon, main weapon is. Yes, we have on the helmet, we have on the breastplate, and we wear the belt, and we have on the shoes, and we have the shield, and we have the sword. But that's not what saves us. That's not what will keep us. It's the Word of God. It's that sword which is the Word of God. Jesus said, as is written, and when we are assailed by the enemy, this is our, that which would save us. It is written. God's Word said we shouldn't do that. God's Word said that's wrong. And we should follow the Lord's Word. So the word finished is an incredible word. It's that which hangs, or everything hangs on, concerning our faith, our salvation, concerning our joy, concerning our place where we will spend eternity, determining how we'll stand before God. Paul says to us, because of this, because he finished the work, you're now under no condemnation. God cannot condemn me. God cannot claim two prices. He has already claimed the price. And that was the blood of his own dear Son. And God the Father cannot go above his Son. He cannot ask me to pay for it. The price has been paid. I wasn't bought with blood, with gold and silver. I wasn't bought with the blood of beasts. I was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my dear friends, the resurrection is wonderful because we'll be with the Lord. But we will never have a resurrection if Christ hadn't finished the work. If he had failed on one spot, failed on just one spot, he would not have been accepted. He could not have been accepted because he had not fulfilled the job that the Father had given him. But he did. He accomplished everything. There was nothing left. He could say, finished. Go down here. It is finished. A cry that was heard. A cry that was heard. John chapter 19 verse 30 tells us there that Jesus said, it's finished. And Luke 23, it tells us there that with a loud shout, a man hanging on the cross had no energy, but the Lord Jesus Christ had energy. He went through a whole day preaching. And then he went a whole night being interrogated and assaulted. He couldn't even carry his own cross because of his furrows on his back, I believe, and also because he would have been out of energy. And he would have remembered, no doubt, what the scripture says, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. His strength was renewed. And it tells us there in Luke's gospel that he raised his head and he cried with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In other words, Father, it's finished. With a loud voice. Now who heard the cry? He didn't whisper. He wasn't just thinking of those who were at the foot of the cross and whispering, "It's finished. Yes, it's finished." It tells us there with a cry. He shouted. He wanted people to hear that it's finished. And who did he want to hear? He wanted four types of people to hear. He wanted his Father to hear. John chapter 17 and verse 4 and 5. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He raised his head and he cried out that heaven would hear, "Father, it's finished. I've glorified you. I've finished the work you gave me to do here on earth." He wanted his Father to hear. That same one who was his God when he was under judgment. That same one who turned his eyes away and caused darkness to be there, a darkness that could be felt. But now he's back to Father and Son. That relation that has always been there for all eternity. "Father, I have finished your work. Glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world's begun." He wanted his Father to hear him. Secondly, he wanted his people to hear him. Not only those who were at the foot of the cross, but those who were standing afar off. And he wanted us to hear. He wanted us to hear it's finished. And to experience the joy. In John chapter 14, 1-3, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." He wanted his people to know that there was no more work to be done. He wanted the high priest and the priests and those that were working every day, 7 days a week, slaughtering animals and skinning them and dissecting them and burning them. He wanted them to know that's all gone. It's finished. There's no need now for animal slaughtering. There's no need for animal blood. The Son of God has given his blood. He wanted his people. And that's when we read the scriptures, and that's why we have confidence in Jesus. That's why we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's told us. There's a place of worship, if we can call it a place of worship, not far from here. And they are full of works of righteousness. This morning in the evening, probably there was a bloodless sacrifice. We had bread and wine this morning. They won't have bread and wine. They don't even have bread. They have a little wafer. It's called the host. And it's in a little box. And it's looked up to. And they commit this every day. And people are doing things that Paul says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. And they're trying to work their way to appease an angry God. But Jesus said, "No, it's finished." And he wants his people to know. Do you know that this work of salvation has been accomplished? Do you know? Paul says, "I know." Job says, "I know." And I say, "I know." Not because I'm a learned man, but because the Holy Spirit has told me. The Holy Spirit testifies with my spirit that I'm a saved man. Yes, he wanted his Father to hear. He wanted the people to hear. To give them confidence. Why do you think the gospel's here in Britain? Because Jesus, when he resurrected, because he had finished the work, he says to his disciples, go into all the world. They wouldn't have went into all the world if they didn't have a story. Here's one of the reasons. Paul says, so we preach. What does he mean, so we preach? It means we tell the good news to people that Christ Jesus has died and has finished the work. There's nothing more for you to do but to come to Jesus. He wanted his people to know. And that's why I can sleep at night knowing that if anything should happen to me, I'm sure the Christians in Ukraine and these other places, they know that death is at the door. But they know that death brings about their coronation, because then they receive the crown of righteousness. He wants us to know. That's why we labored this morning on Paul saying, I know that I whom I believe. That's why we labored in a sense on Job saying, I know that my beloved lives. But then there was another group of people he wanted to know. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. I've got the wrong one, but that'll do. That's what I quoted earlier on. You shall look for me, you shall hunt for me, but you will not find me. And you cannot come where I'm coming. And he wanted his enemies, those at the bottom, who says to him, you are the Son of God, come down. The one on the cross says, come down and save us as well. And they mocked, and they beat their breasts, and they laughed, and some of them spat on him. The worst thing that could ever happen to a Jew is to have someone to spit on your face. That's what God says to Moses concerning Miriam. When Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses, you've taken too much on yourself. We're the same as you. And the Lord made his sister a leper. And he asked, prayed about it, and she was healed. And the word is there saying, if her father had spit on her, she would have been unclean for 7 days. So that's the worst thing that could have happened to a Jew, is someone to spit on them. And it tells us that the hierarchy spat on him, and it tells us that the soldiers spat on him. I don't want to go into details, but when he's in the praetorium, all these soldiers walking by, and each one spitting on him, it must have been running down like a river. And it was all because he could say that one word, finish. This is our salvation. This is the cost of our salvation. This is what our Saviour was prepared to go through. I suppose he could have, when he was making creation, he just spoke and everything came into being. I'm sure he could have just said in heaven, sinners saved, and they would have been saved. But he wanted to show his love. And there's only one way that God could demonstrate and show his love, and that was by becoming a man like us and suffering for us, that we might be free. Oh, he wanted his enemies to know, there's no more you can do to me now. It's finished. And that's why I read Psalm 2. I have set my king upon my holy hill. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Oh, my dear friends, everything that the Lord has done is wonderful. But if that one word hadn't been said from his heart, nothing would have been accomplished. He would have just been someone God had sent to show us his love. But that love had not gone far enough for him to die and rise again. And then fourthly, there was his father, his people, his enemies, and he wanted hell to know that it was finished. Mark chapter 5 and verse 7. This is when he went across the two men that were full of legion, that's in Matthew's, but in Mark, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I abjure thee by God that thou torment me not." It shows that the devils know what's going to happen to them. And they were asking the Lord, "Have you come before the time? The time has been set. The time has been set when he will judge the world in righteousness. It has been set. That day is there. We are only waiting for it. No one knows when it's coming." And he wanted Satan to know, "You have done your worst. There's no more you can do concerning me. It's finished." And all the devils that were in men and women, they recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Gospels, you must notice that the people didn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Hardly anyone noticed him. They didn't know who he was. He's the son of Joseph. His father was a carpenter. Mary's here. His brothers are here. His sisters are here. But they didn't recognize that he was the Son of God. But every devil did. Every devil knew who he was. "You are the Son of God. We know who you are, Jesus." And he wanted them to know that it was finished. The work that the Father had given him had been completed. We're here tonight, and we're safe. Man can only kill the body. Jesus says, "Fear him who can destroy the body and the soul." And he'll never destroy the soul of anyone who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he may allow the body to be destroyed, and a lot of them are being destroyed, and he's allowing it. But the soul is safe in the arms of Jesus. I've sort of digressed. I had 3 points here. The importance of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, and the purpose of the resurrection. But I felt led to say what I'm saying, because I feel the resurrection is really important, because Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians, that without the resurrection, really there's nothing. We just die and that's it. But I felt that the word "finish" is more important, because it tells us this truth, that the work of salvation has been accomplished by God's own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what have we got to do? What have we got to do? If you're not saved, he tells us, as he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "You will die in your sin if you do not believe that I am he." If you don't believe that Jesus is the God, the Son of God, if you don't believe that He is the Christ, if you don't believe that He shed His blood on Calvary that you might be saved, that He was the propitiation, He was the one who appeased His Father, that angry God. The Bible tells us in, I think it's Psalm 7, that God is angry with the sinner every day. Every day. God looks down and He sees the sinners and He's angry with them. He's not pleased because they're going against Him. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind. Don't have images, don't do anything, the first four commandments. And they just put it all away. So He's angry with the sinner every day. But His Son, when He shed that blood, He appeased His Father. He took away the anger from the sinner who was trusting in Him. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful. I'm so happy, I am. I don't like the world as it is, but I'm happy because I have the joy of the Lord. I've come that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. And I'll tell you something else, He says. No one can take it from you. No one. Not even His enemies. Not even Him in hell. Can't take it from you. He can cause you to sorrow, maybe. He can cause you to have pain. But He can't take your eternal life. And He can't take your joy. He can't touch your salvation. This is wonderful. This is wonderful news. So as I said, and I finish now, as I said, when you go to bed tonight and you put your head on the pillow, just think for a few moments of that one word, finished. And think about some of the things I've said, what it means. And it's not my thoughts, because everything I said, I gave you scripture readings. So it's what God has said, not me. It's not what I think. It's what God says. God said it, I believe it, and that finishes it. So let's finish. Let's pray.